My name is Lauren Myers. I am the author of Timeless. This is the first book in a 6-part series. The chapter I'm going to be reading from you is chapter 4, and it takes place with right around in the forest. The main character, Percy, has just woken up from a dream that she has, and she's surrounded by her family. Percy is the main character, and she's a witch. And her few powers, she has a few powers that she can do. She has the power to time travel, and she has the gift of knowledge, and she has a gift of memories in which she can read others' minds. We were in one of the many forests of Serenity. There's a ring of fire surrounding me. My family was on the outside. I looked over to what is in front of me, a figure dark as the night. His whole body was covered in a mask of this black, murky gas. You couldn't see what was hiding behind it. He reached down by his side and pulled out a dagger. Then he waved his hand at me, which threw me back against the tree. Suddenly, my body grew scorching hot. Inside of me felt like water was boiling, trying to burn the bones into spaghetti. Instead of water, though, it was my blood. It made it hard for me to breathe. I tried looking around to what was going on, but I could barely see. I could tell that the ghastly man came closer and knelt next to me. He held the dagger in front of my face. He started saying something, but I couldn't understand him. I took as good as a look at the dagger. It had a dragon insignia on the handle. He then took the dagger and ran it across my neck. I woke up in a jolt, scared of what happened in the dream. I was feeling around my neck where the man cut it in the dream. I was breathing hard, as if it really happened while I was dreaming. I realized that Demeter was sitting on the bed next to me. By the looks of where I was at, he was trying to wake me up. Jackson and Selena were at the end staring at me with worried expressions on their face. I looked outside my window and saw it was still dark outside. "What time is it?" I asked. "It's getting close to dawn," Jackson said. They were all staring at me, waiting for me to talk. "Did I wake you guys up?" "We will be fine. It's you we're worried about," Demeter said. "Tell us what happened in your dream." "It was just a dream. There's nothing to worry about," I said, trying to sound like it was nothing, but we all knew that was a lie. "Purse, do you really think we would believe that? You were screaming as if you were in pain," Jackson said. "That's because she was in pain," Demeter told him. He knew what was going on. "Tell us." "I don't want to." "Percy, when I came in here, you were burning up. In case you don't remember, your dreams always come true, and we don't know why. Whatever happens in it happens while you sleep," Demeter explained. I was surprised at something I didn't remember about me. "It isn't safe here to talk," I told them. Selena and Demeter looked at me in disbelief. Jackson, on the other hand, understood what I meant by that. What Percy means by that is there could be eyes and ears nearby listening in on what we're talking about. "How could that be? You put that shield up around the house. There shouldn't be anyone close enough to listen. By the way, we didn't forget about what happened last night," Demeter said. "Demeter, stop talking," Selena said. It was silent for a moment between them. It was like they were saying something between each other. Next thing I knew, Selena was talking to me, but her mouth wasn't moving. "Percy, I'm used to telepathy spell to talk to you. This is a way we can talk to you without anyone hearing what we are talking about." Demeter was going to make a scene between us for it that would be delusional to others. "You aren't wrong about there being an intruder among us. I had a feeling as well," she explained. "You don't need to use the spell to talk back to me. Telepathy is one of your specialties, along with your father." I remember when I first talked to someone without talking aloud. Demeter was the only one who heard me because he too was a telepath. Selena, on the other hand, was incredibly knowledgeable. We both shared this specialty. It was then we realized that the prophecy was indeed about me, for it was rare for a mage to have two specialties in her life. It was even rarer for them to have the same talents as their parents, let alone one. We knew that I was going to have a hard life to live. "In my dream," I reached out to them. "I was in the forest. You were all there, Thomas and the twins and Annabelle. There is a ring of fire surrounding me, keeping you from getting to me." I hated reliving the dream. It was torturing me. Something was in there with me. A shadow figure. He threw me up against a tree by the edge of the fire. That was when my blood started boiling inside of me. The sangui fervéo curse, Selena stated. How long did it last? Until he slit my neck with his dagger. That was when I woke up. Was there anything you remembered about the shadow figure? Jackson asked. Not much. His true form was hidden. All I could see was layers upon layers of a murky gas. I paused for a moment. I remembered the dagger. There was one thing I remembered about him. The dagger he held had a dragon insignia on it. Does that help with anything? That helps some. It means we look for whoever holds that dagger. When we find out the one who has it, then we will know who has infiltrated us. But we make sure that they don't know that we know it's them. As for the dagger, we got to try and enchant it. That way it won't kill you. Dimitri gave us a look, telling us to hurry up. There must have been someone coming. We are going to have to finish sometime later, he said. Percy, the scene I created show anyone who's listening that we are yelling at you for doing the spell you did, which we have not forgotten. We will talk about it later. Selena just said that maybe we should continue this discussion later when we all get some food for our stomachs. So we are now going downstairs to go and eat breakfast, he explained. Wait, you guys should know something before we go. I figured it was time for my parents to know. Jackson has been helping me hide a secret. I remember a lot more than what I am telling you. We know, Selena said. You know? I looked at Jackson and gave him a look as if he betrayed our promise. Don't worry, he didn't tell us, Selena said. Then how do you know? I asked, but none of them got to answer because we were interrupted at the door when Thomas came in. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt the yelling session, but breakfast is getting cold, he said as he came in. He was looking at me, wondering what in the world I did. Yes, thank you, Thomas. We'll be right there, Selena said. Percy, I made that memory up. Your mother told me to, Dimitri said silently to me. He looked at all of us as we stood there, waiting for us to get up and follow him out. I decided to be the first to go. If everyone was yelling at me, then I should make it look that I wanted to be the first one to get out of there. Jackson was next to go behind me, soon walking beside me, our hands dangling next to each other. They weren't touching, but I could feel the warmth that was radiating. We made our way downstairs to the dining room. The table was set up to at least 15 people, and it was filled with a whole bunch of breakfast foods. I looked around and noticed a few people I didn't recognize. We had servants, which I found weird, because the last 4 years I was used to serving myself. I sat down in the middle, which was close to the waffles and eggs. I helped myself with as much as I wanted. There were a few people missing from the table. Maeve and Kathleen were a few to name. Everyone who was here was silent, which made it awkward to eat. As soon as I finished, I got up and made my way back to my room. I'm sure I had my own bathroom. I wanted to take a hot shower and just relax. As I walked closer to the room, I heard that voice again, the one I heard back in the school hallway. Percy, it said. I looked around again, wondering what was going to happen next. Prepare for what is going to happen next, it warned. There was something familiar about that voice. What do you mean? I called out, but it was silent. I ran towards my room, freaked out by what it meant. I shut the door behind me and locked it. I wasn't in the mood to be disturbed. Obviously, the servants made their way into my room, seeing that my bed was made. I went over to the dresser to see if there were any clothes in it for me. All my things were in here already. I looked up and noticed that the pink vial was still there. I stared at it for a few minutes and then left it alone. I grabbed some fresh clothes and went in the bathroom. I took off my watch and necklace and set it down on the counter. I was right about the shower and how it would allow me to relax. I got away from all the stress that was laid down in my path. I was about to get out of the shower when I heard a strange noise coming from the room. I kept the shower running and got out and put a robe around. I wanted to see what was making the noise. It sounded like metal was clapping around in my room. I looked in my room, but I saw nothing. It was weird, though. I could still feel presence in there. I went back into the bathroom to turn off the water. Just as I went, though, I felt something brush up against my arm. It was hard and cold. Show yourself, I said aloud. I looked around again, but I could still see nothing. I slowly walked backwards and turned off the water. I got dressed as quickly as I could and went back into my room. I could still feel presence in the room. I looked at my dresser and noticed that the vial wasn't there anymore. The presence in the room started laughing maniacally. It bounced all around the room, so it was hard to notice where it was coming from. It didn't stop me from trying, though. I listened hard for a moment and eventually found it to be behind me. I looked around the room and at the door. I remembered I locked it. It was going to be hard to escape if I locked it. Then I remembered I had a pocket knife with me when I crossed over. I don't know what happened to it, but I did remember a spell that you could use that would return a lost item to your hands. I reached down into my back pocket and said to myself, "The Steagle." I concentrated on what I was trying to find. Suddenly, my hand had my pocket knife in it. I turned around and pulled a sneak attack on the invisible figure. I pulled out the pocket knife and plunged it into them. The figure finally showed itself. It was tall and metal, dressed as a knight. He had a shield, and on it was the dragon insignia. I pulled the knife out of him and ran for it. I got to the door and struggled getting it unlocked, but as soon as it opened, I was out of there. I ran down the stairs to the main entrance. This house was so huge, I had no idea where to go. I headed for the living room to see if anyone was out there. No one was in there. Where would anyone be in this house? I headed back down to the main entrance. "Selena! Dimitri!" I shouted, looking for any hope that they would hear me. The maniacal laugh was back. It haunted the whole house. "They can't hear you," it taunted. His voice was tantalizing, deep and dark. He was trying to scare me, and he was succeeding. What did he do to them? Where would they be? There was a hallway that led into two different directions. I went left and found that it only led to one room. "Come out, come out, wherever you are," he sounded like he was getting closer to where I was. I looked around. The room was small, and there wasn't anywhere I could hide. The window was large enough for me to fit through, but the problem was it didn't open. I was screwed. "You ran out of room to run," he said. I looked behind me. He was standing there at the door, clad in black armor. "Who are you? What do you want from me?" I asked. "Excuse my manners. Allow me to introduce myself. I go by the name of the Black Knight. It's not what I want from you. It's what I'm going to do to you," he said. "You see, I get paid to do certain things to people, like killing, for example. If I don't do the deed, my boss will kill me. So it's either kill or be killed. And I choose to kill." He took a step towards me and closed the door. "So you're an assassin," I said coolly. "That's exactly what I am." "Why would you want to do that? Kill innocent people. I did nothing to you." "You're right, you didn't. My client found me at my weakest and decided to take me in. He taught me everything I know now. He told me about you and how you destroyed his life." "Are you talking about the prophecy?" "What prophecy?" Black Knight moved in closer. He made his first wrong move, questioning. Any assassin would ignore asking questions. They would just get on with it. He was different. I decided to change the subject. If there was a chance at getting him to change his mind about killing me, now was a chance. "Why would you so willingly decide to kill people for a living?" "I have nothing to live for anymore. I lived a long, adventurous life." "I haven't. What makes you think I care?" I didn't know how close he was until now. He was inches away from me, close enough that I couldn't make a run for it without getting a chance to hurt me. My favorite part about this job is that no one will know it was me. He took off his helmet. Underneath was just a young man. He had beautiful, satin blue eyes, dark brown hair that waved because of the length. He didn't look like he enjoyed all of this. He was obviously lying to himself. "I don't know who you are, but you don't have to do this. We can figure something out." "No, we can't." "I admire you trying to save yourself, though." He seemed unsure of himself. I reached out to touch him on his arm. As soon as I did, though, he grabbed his sword and dagger and stabbed them in my shoulders. He then pushed me out of the window. The fall was short, but it hurt. I landed on my back and glass broke into it. I had little feeling in my hands, and my shoulders hurt enough as it was. I tried rolling out of the broken glass and found myself in a nice, soft, grassy area. I laid down on my stomach for a minute to catch my breath. I knew I wasn't going to be able to use my arms to push myself up, so I scrunched up with my knees flat on the ground. I pulled my weight on top of them and sat up.